why it's a lie.
In another packed podgram, vitamin C cures the common cold. When they're scared, ostriches stick their heads in the sand because they think it makes them invisible. And when you put a silencer on a handgun, it turns it from bang, bang to pew, pew. Just like the movies and TV have told us for decades. You're about to find out
why it's a lie.
My entire childhood, I heard, oh no, you have a cold, take some vitamin C, have an orange, drink orange juice. You know, I don't know what it is, but the only time I like orange juice or crave orange juice is when I have a cold. I still drink warm orange juice for a sore throat, and I kind of like that. Soothing. But you know, if you do something you like and it doesn't really hurt anyone, that's okay. It's just when you go telling everyone something that it's not, well, that's bad. Especially when you charge for it. So, who started the whole vitamin C thing against colds anyway? Well, part of it traces back to a well-known scientist named Linus Pauling, who he believed that vitamin C could cure all sorts of health woes. Now, even though he's quite dead now, a lot of people still believe him today. More about him in a bit. About 50% of North Americans take vitamin supplements on a regular basis. Do they hurt? Well, no, usually not. Expensive urine, as Sheldon Cooper puts it. But many nutritionists say that it really doesn't help either. There might be a placebo effect for some people. Neither do mega levels of vitamin C. But why is vitamin C held in such a... you know what? Here's why it kind of makes sense that people would give vitamin C a lot of credit. Remember scurvy? Sailors on long voyages were short on fruits and vegetables. So due to lack of vitamin C, they would get scurvy. And it gave you all sorts of things like swollen extremities and painful inflamed gums and... oh, it led to death too. It's hard for us to get scurvy today. Your vitamin C intake would have to be under 10 milligrams a day for many weeks. But back then, it was estimated to have killed 2 million sailors between 1500 and 1800. Scientist James Lind eventually figured out that the only effective treatment was oranges and lemons. He didn't know why, though. It wasn't until 1928 that scientists would figure out what exactly was in those fruits and vegetables that was doing the trick. So, okay, back to Linus Pauling and the vitamin C craze. Pauling is the only person, he's a big deal. He's the only person to ever win two unshared Nobel Prizes. In 1949, Pauling and his team, they were studying sickle cell anemia, and they established it as a genetic disease. So he did some good stuff. During a talk in 1960, Pauling mentioned that he hoped he could live another 25 years or so to keep following the exciting discoveries in science. Now, a man in the audience, Irwin Stone, he would change the course of Pauling's career. In a letter to him, Stone recommended that he should take 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day, and that'll help him live longer. Pauling said he began to feel livelier and healthier after taking Stone's advice. In particular, he said, the severe colds I had suffered several times a year in all my life no longer occurred. I don't know why I'm talking like that. I have no idea what he sounds like. But there are other reasons beside vitamin C that could mean he stopped getting colds. Like maybe he did good things for his health in other ways, right? Or maybe his kids grew up, so they weren't around to catch colds from everywhere. Or maybe, you know, he washed his hands more. Anyway, over the next few years, Pauling upped his intake of vitamin C, eventually taking it to 18,000 milligrams per day. Vitamin C became his scientific obsession. In 1970, Pauling came out with his book, Vitamin C and the Common Cold, where he encouraged Americans to consume 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily. Well, stores reported vitamin C sales up 10 times that of the previous year since the first publicity over Dr. Linus Pauling's book. Now, Pauling really believed this stuff. He said vitamin C would make the common cold disappear completely off the face of the earth. He said vitamins and nutritional supplements could cure everything, from retinal detachment to snake bites to the virus that causes AIDS. Pauling fought critics for the rest of his life because a lot of people disagreed with him. In a 1990 interview, Pauling said that people who take vitamin C and other supplements in the optimum amounts would live 25 to 35 years longer. More than that, he said, they will be free of diseases. 4 years later, he died. But hey, he did really well life-wise. He did live longer than the 25 years he wanted to back in 1960, like 34 more years. Meanwhile, scientists were testing his theories and finding that megavitamin doses didn't cure everything. And scientists were repeatedly finding that colds progress much the same way regardless of whether you take tons of vitamin C or not. Well, what if you take normal doses? One review of nearly 30 studies looking at people with colds, taking the normal daily dose of vitamin C found that it did reduce colds' lengths by 8%. So a five-day cold might be shortened by about 10 hours. There's also a chance that people who are disciplined to take pills every day might take care of themselves in other areas. I didn't see any evidence of that either way, so look, here I am throwing in a guess. We should get back to facts. Researchers have checked to see whether vitamin C supplements lower the risk of cancer, but evidence from clinical trials show that vitamin C supplements, usually taken with other things like vitamin E and zinc, had no such effect. The same problem came up when researchers tried to see a connection between vitamin C and pneumonia. But people take supplements anyway. It's that kind of, well, at least I'm doing something kind of a thing, I think. But mega doses come with some risks. The National Institute of Health says people shouldn't take more than 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. If you do higher, you're looking at a possible diarrhea, nausea, stomach cramps. In one study, Swedish researchers found that men taking lots of vitamin C were twice as likely to develop kidney stones. So why, if we can usually get all the vitamin C we need from our food, do we buy all this extra vitamin C? The idea that it'll help us fend off colds is a stubbornly persistent myth. It's perpetuated by supplement companies who really don't mind at all that you think vitamin C does more than we think it can do. So vitamin C curing the common cold? That's why it's a lie. Ostriches stick their heads in the sand, and it makes them think they're invisible. I remember that cartoon from the Bugs Bunny show with the ostrich who plunked his head in the sand. It had Foghorn Leghorn in it. What kind of name is Foghorn Leghorn anyway? But even though some Roman elder in the first century said that they do, ostriches do not stick their heads in the sand because they think it makes them invisible. They don't do it at all. They do sometimes peck at the ground to grab stones to help them digest food, and that might be a reason how the myth got started. It's a weak reason, but, you know, sometimes you don't need much. Speaking of weak, ostriches are anything but. They can kick butt. They can kick with tremendous force. They have super sharp claws, too, that can rip you in half. And also, they can run like 100 kilometers an hour. So why would they stick their heads in the sand? If they did, they would go the way of the dodo bird, right? Because dumb, horrible humans love killing things that are dumb and helpless. So an ostrich burying its head in the sand? That's why it's alive. And finally, hey! If you want to shoot someone but don't want anyone to know about it, just put a silencer on your gun. So, bang, bang, becomes pew, pew, right? That's how it is on the TV and in the movies. So it must be exactly like that in real life, right? Just like when people shoot at each other for like half an hour without reloading. But, okay, but before I go off on another tangent, let's explore why a silencer, or rather, it's really called a suppressor, doesn't make bang, bang into pew, pew. I'm going to keep making that sound. There are three ways a firearm makes sound. One is called the muzzle blast, which is, that's the high pressure and high temperature gases that, you know, when they escape when the bullet comes out of the gun. Two is the actual mechanical sounds of the gun itself, right? The trigger and the hammer and all the moving parts in the firearm. Three is the sonic boom, and that comes from the shock waves created by a projectile moving faster than the speed of sound. Suppressors help the most with that muzzle blast. If we're talking about handguns, the noise from a handgun is usually about 160 decibels. That's very loud. The suppressor, in tests, helped reduce the volume to between 130 and 145 decibels. The quietest that anyone ever got it was 117 decibels in these tests. So it reduced the sound between 15 to 43 decibels. Your neighbors will probably hear it. 130 decibels is still as loud as a firecracker or a chainsaw. I should mention at this point that most suppressors have a lot of regulations, and you can get lots of trouble for using them in many countries. You know, because that whole, exactly why do you want to keep your shooting quiet? Except in Norway, Finland, and France, where the rules are pretty lax. In Canada, it's a prohibited device. And in the States, they have an application process, and they are legal for some purposes in about 39 states. You should really look it up for your country and, well, in your state. Rules change all the time, and sadly, more based on political slant than facts. The other thing to mention here is that if you're talking about bigger guns, then suppressors work a bit better on them because, well, they're bigger, and they can absorb more sound. But as for putting a silencer or suppressor on a handgun and going, pew, pew, that's why it's a lie. All right, there we go. Thanks for listening to
Why It's a Lie. Why It's a Lie. Created by Jim and helped out by friends like me. I'm Mark. Please subscribe to Why It's a Lie on iTunes and leave awesome reviews. Thanks for listening.